But we are talking football with Dion Caputi of NFL Draft Update. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Dion, welcome. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely, gentlemen. And I, too, would like to be draped in velvet.
Yes, absolutely. We all would be ensconced in velvet, right? All right, we're going to hit you, you know, with the lead here because it's always about the quarterbacks because that's what everyone wants to talk about. We'll do that. Is there any kind of a twist coming up near the top of the draft in your mind? Is this going to fall fairly much in order? And I guess what I mean by that, after Burrow goes number one, if you agree with that, do the quarterback needy teams stay put? Is Miami picking at five, or are they going up, and what are the Chargers doing? Is that the race, the Chargers and the Dolphins, for Tua, or do you think something else happens?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a very interesting top part of the draft, and quarterbacks are obviously the wild card. I think it's safe to assume that, you know, barring something very unforeseen, and certainly there's a lot of unforeseen things in our world today, Joe Burrow is very likely to go first overall, and I think the draft ultimately begins at number three with the Lions. Obviously, Chase Young very likely to go number two. So I think the Lions are very well situated to, you know, sort of survey the field, take all calls, and it's the pseudo number one overall pick in the draft now. And obviously with the Giants not being a quarterback team either, I think they're a prime landing spot for a quarterback in those 3-4 holes. And certainly Tua Tagovailoa for me is the ultimate wild card of the quarterbacks. And primarily because while we hear so much about how, you know, his medical is sparkling, it's totally fine, there's nothing to worry about. The one thing that you absolutely must keep in mind here is that, you know, not every team agrees with these grandiose statements made by agents and unknown sources. So certain teams will value or evaluate his medical situation very differently from another. So I don't know that guarantees Tua being picked first after Joe Burrow, but certainly it seems to be the buzz at the moment. But Justin Herbert, a lot to like as well, too. A fit in so many different brands of offense. He's very, he's very wide open from a skill set standpoint. No physical limitations either, and I think he provides just as much intrigue as Tua Tagovailoa would. And certainly, I think you got to keep in mind that a left-handed quarterback is a little bit of an adjustment to any offense.
No, absolutely. We're talking to Dion Caputi, NFL draft analyst for NationalFootballPost.com on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So you touched on Justin Herbert there. Do you believe he is clearly the third quarterback off the board, or could Jordan Love, in maybe your mind, depending on the team that would be picking, maybe, you know, at six or potentially the Jags, you know, I believe at eight or nine, could they value Love more than Herbert?
It's certainly possible from a physical standpoint, from a tool standpoint. Jordan Love obviously has all the arm talent, all the flair, all the pizzazz that you want out of an elite pocket quarterback, you know, from a talent standpoint. So I think that anything is on the table at this point. But for me, Justin Herbert just offers you so much more. He's produced so much more at the college level. He's run a variety of different offenses. I think he can come, day one and give you a lot more than Jordan Love would. He is a year away from being a year away from me. And you know, while the talent is undeniable, I'm just not seeing enough of a clean evaluation on Jordan Love to value him in that first round, let alone be the third quarterback taken. So while it certainly can happen, because all it takes is one team, for me, I'm absolutely sticking with Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa to round out those top three quarterbacks. But again, lots to love about Jordan Love. I don't fade him or what he provides. It's just he comes with, very raw talent that needs polishing.
Dion, let me ask you about, you know, the Patriots are just such a difficult one to figure out now. I mean, they could stay with Stidham, and, you know, he's a good backup, but now he could be the guy that Belichick wants to see develop. Jacob Eason's name we've thrown out there, Jake Fromm. I heard McShay say on ESPN that he didn't think Eason was mentally, he's not a fit. Is that a nice way of saying I don't think he's that smart?
You know what? I'm finding myself very curious about this Patriots situation myself. And I think the one thing that the last 20 years has taught us is that we don't really know what the style or what the preference is at the quarterback position per se is for this Patriots franchise. It's sort of been ready made with Tom Brady, and you never mess with something that works. So I think now we're going to start to get a little bit of an understanding about how Bill Belichick and the organization sort of evaluates these guys. And it really is a crapshoot. But for me, I think you look at what they have on their roster now. Brian Hoyer brought back, obviously, to be a veteran stopgap, maybe just a backup, someone who's familiar with their offense. Obviously, Jarrett Stidham now in year two, I think he's a little bit more immersed in your offense. He's got system kind of quarterback, but he's very good at being able to feel an offense, very comfortable when he settles in. So I think there's some upside there. But if the ultimate question is, are the Patriots going to make that move for a quarterback in this draft, or are they going to take one where they are? It's going to be very, very interesting. It's a fascinating situation for me, and I'm not really sure what they value in terms of quarterbacks. Are they a big arm team? Are they a team that loves someone who's a very heady cerebral quarterback? It's all on the table, and I think we're going to find out. But for me, Jacob Eason would be a really solid pick for any pro-style setup. I mean, anybody who doesn't really get your quarterback to be out of the pocket too much, Jacob Eason is a great fit for you. Again, not the most accurate, not the most polished, but he does come with all the tools as well, much like Jordan Love. That's something that puts him above guys like Jake Fromm, for example, as far as when these guys will be taken.
You know, looking at the Browns, they're probably going to take an offensive tackle. At least that's the position of greatest need. You know, who is the best in your mind, and how many first-round tackles do you believe are there in this draft?
Oh, you know what? The offensive tackle position for me is probably the most exciting in the draft because there's so many different dimensions, sizes, shapes. There's something for everybody, and I think the draft, as far as offensive tackles, kind of begins with the Giants at four. So for me, you have guys like Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, a fantastic athlete, great size, got everything you want in a franchise left tackle from a physical standpoint. So I think there's no limitations there. You have, you move on to Mekhi Becton, a freakishly sized mammoth edge blocker with tremendous length as well, too. You just wonder, does he have the athleticism and the feet to match what we saw of him at the combine as far as the 40 time goes, but certainly a first round guy as well, too. There's so much available in this draft, and I think ultimately, it's just going to come down to what you want in a tackle, how a guy fits into your blocking scheme, and I think that's what will be the determining factor. But for me, I see a potential of three, five offensive tackles going in this first round. Obviously, every team needs two, so you can never have enough good blocking in this league.
Talking with Dion Caputi, NFL Draft Update. Let me ask you about the receivers. There's so many of them. And so I don't know if you're in the camp of, well, you just can't go wrong with either one of those, top three guys, or Judy, certainly CeeDee Lamb, Ruggs. Like, is there somebody that's heads above the rest for you? And is there one receiver in the first round that's not getting enough attention that you think will turn out to be a great one?
Yeah, for me, again, I consider a receiver to be not a position with particularly strong first-round value. Obviously, there's a lot of people who may argue differently. But for me, in a draft like this, I'm saying to myself, let the guys who are considered to be the blue chippers go in the first round. I can see maybe one, two, three guys going in the first round. And I'm saying to myself, I can get a really, really polished and talented receiver who can help me day one, on day two. In the draft, in rounds two, round three, some really supremely talented guys that I think can step in and, help you immediately. So for me, I think there's so many guys who can easily emerge as the number one receiver from this draft that when we look back at it years later from now. The guy for me that stands above others is Jerry Jeudy of Alabama. I think I've seen more than enough of him to think that, regardless of who he's going up against, whether it's somebody who matches up against him physically or matches up against him with speed, he will find a way to win. He's somebody who's very polished as a route runner and obviously so vertical and can hurt you deep as well, too. So past that, I think Henry Ruggs is obviously getting a lot of the buzz because of the world-class speed. But for me, CeeDee Lamb comes out as the number two guy. I think he's very polished as a route runner as well, too. Really twitchy, fast, vertical as well, too, but hurts you east-west, too. Past that, I think, there's this bevy of Alabama guys, but I find myself looking past them and really being interested in T. Higgins as well, too. Seen a lot of these really good jump ball receivers come out of Clemson in recent years, and he's just the next one to come through the system. So I think he's a guy who's going to win a lot of 50-50 balls downfield, a lot like Mike Williams that way, and I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can provide. So if there's one point I'm trying to get across here is that I think no matter how good these elite receivers are in this class, you can always come away with somebody very good as well in the second day.
All right, real quickly, final 30 seconds. Over under on receivers in the first round, if I gave you, let's go with 4.5. Over or under receivers taken the first round?
4.5. All right, so we got to go 5 receivers in the first round. I'm going to say we're going to go under that. I see 3 or 4, with those 3 or 4 very quickly being Jerry Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb. So those are my 3. I don't see more than 4.5.
All right. Well done. Deion, thanks, man. We appreciate you weighing in. Enjoy continuing to dissect the draft as we get a lot closer, man, and be well. Thank you.
Absolutely. You stay safe, guys, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.